Welcome back to the B list. I'm B. I'm here with Sarah. I'm B.
And I'm SG.
There we are. Guys, Sarah Galley's here. You guys know her from Andy's Girls. It's not her first time at the rodeo. She's been here before. She knows how we do it here.
Absolutely, I do. And I'm so thrilled to be back.
We're just like, what is it? Fast and loose here. We're just like, let her rip. That's before we even like, I sometimes now, like, I'll even know the title of what I'm going to name the podcast, the episode. And I think I'm just going to go with Uche Can Go to Hell.
Okay, so here's the problem, B, is that no spoilers.
We won't. We'll talk a little bit about it, but I'm not going to break it. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not yet. So you just have to know who he is. He's not great. Yeah, I know who he is, but don't tell me anything.
To know Uche is to fucking hate him. So
okay, great. Don't tell me anything because I'm still working my way through and I'm doing like live recaps on IG and all that shit. So
to know him is to loathe him. I love that.
Can I ask you a question in general?
Yeah.
Do you think this is the worst season of Love is Blind so far? And also part B, do you think Love is Blind can ever be good again?
I don't know the second part. I don't know because it's like the thing also we have to realize is that every single season is a different locale and it's vastly different types of people. I think that like I was watching this TikTok the other day. I'm really into this TikTok account, which I'll show you later. I told the listeners, if you guys were listening last episode, the person's name on TikTok is Tell the Bees, and it's just, he's genius. But he does these breakdowns of reality television and media and all this stuff. But he was talking about how all the Love is Blind seasons are different themes, whether they know that they're doing it or not. And one is really about like wealth. Money. And he said that this one, and I agree with him, that this season is specifically about misogyny. Yeah. And it just kind of made sense because it's like, I mean, this group is from Houston.
Okay.
It's Texas. The men are very specific. I don't know. It's just like you see the difference in like with the locales, the array of people is just like so drastically different. Like we had Chicago, we had Seattle, but we'll get into it for sure. I mean, I guess we're talking about it now, but it's just like this quality of men are just like so fucking terrible on this. I mean, this show is literally about like medium, ugly, emotionally unavailable, broke, shitty men making women feel bad about themselves. Uche Can Go to Hell. You can kick rocks. Honestly, all of these men are fucking terrible. JP, I need to see receipts. I need to know where he was January 6th. He has way too much red, white, and blue merch all over him at all times. Honestly, the second I saw the red, white, and blue flags everywhere, that should have been the first red flag. Mm-hmm. It was the red, white, and blue flag.
It literally was. He's not
beating the MAGA allegations anytime soon.
Yeah.
Izzy is like really something else too. He's a real piece of work. I call him Icky. He's one of the worst because like Stacy, who I actually like the most of any of the people, which is really not much. It's like Stacy, I think, is really holding back. She's not really showing her true self because I feel like she feels Stacy kind of like, I feel like she's relatable because I feel like she's incredibly successful. I don't think you've gotten to this point in the thing, but
no, I don't want to be.
Well, she talks a bit about it in the pods, but she's like, she's a successful independent woman,
right?
She's the fun girl. She likes to just go out. She doesn't take things too serious. And I feel like the only reason that she came on Love is Blind is because I feel like she feels like she's supposed to be married at this point. I feel like she's totally content not being married. She's fine being the party girl, fun girl, which is like totally fine. But I feel like she feels like this like need to have to be. That's why she doesn't really like go deep in these conversations with Icky. When he's talking about things, she doesn't want to get too like deep. But I feel like she's like censoring herself and dumbing herself down. You'll kind of see this as you finish the episodes that are currently out. But yeah, she's way out of Icky's league. I mean, she has like two Mercedes, her own home. She's got savings. She's got a 401k. He has a pullout drawer of condoms and loose barrettes and earring backs from random girls that he's fucked over the past year. He's disgusting. But I don't want to give it all away.
Do you think the producers know that the guys are gross? Like, do you think that they are aware that, like, we are going to pull in toxic guys?
I don't think so.
Or are they just
They really are just looking for people that really want to fucking find love. Whether that means, like, people that, like, want to, like, vampires suck the life out of another individual, or is people that are actually willing to give and receive love as opposed to just, like, be a barnacle on someone's life.
Totally. And the interesting thing is, like, I read some sort of deep dive, not about this current season, but a past one, where it was a contestant talking about the fact that, like, they actually got engaged in the pod, but the show decided not to follow them.
Oh, that was the first season, I think, right?
That could have been the 100% could have been the first season. And it made me kind of think, with this season being so,
I think
they
just had too many people. I think it was they just had too many people, so they couldn't, like, afford to, I think.
I think it also sort of depends on whether or not they feel like this match is worth following, like whether or not a person is, like, charismatic with this other person when they kind of join together as a couple. And I have to wonder how fucking odd that is to, like, sign on for a reality TV show for all intents and purposes to, like, find your one true love, but also be on the reality TV show. And then you find your one true love and the show's like, okay, bye. Because they know each other.
Well, if you were really there for love, it really shouldn't matter, right?
But, I know. Yeah. And yet, I think it absolutely would. I would be so upset. I would be like, wait a second. I didn't even know this person. You made me say that I was, like, obsessed with them without actually meeting them. Said, I love you from a couch with a wall separating us. And now I don't even get more TV time. Like, I don't even get to grow my Instagram. Like, I would not be, happy. I would not be happy.
Many thoughts about the show, but I'm going to wait till it all wraps up to see. It is definitely, like, to me, like, the worst season, but still watchable if you're invested in it. Like, you know how it gets. Like, you watch two episodes and you're like, I'm fully invested in this.
I do really feel like the casting.
I want to see a different city.
It's odd. I just feel like these people, I just think the men are just, it's not even that they're toxic, which they are. I just don't think they're, like, interesting or charismatic in any way. I'm just kind of, like, cringe when I watch them on camera. So
a lot of them yell at women. It's weird.
Where do you think that they could do an East Coast? Have they done East Coast?
They haven't. And I would love to see.
They did Atlanta, which is.
They did Atlanta. I would love to see DC next. I think that could be interesting. Oh. Only because it is such a specific town. Mm-hmm. And I feel like they're obviously going to be really career driven, more plugged in probably to, like, I don't know, the real world probably. Mm-hmm. In some sense, because it's politics and tech and all that. I just think seems like it would be like a more cerebral group rather than like than a personal trainer and like, I don't know, an insurance salesman. And then, like, it's just like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
I would. Except, I mean, you can't really do New York. You can't do LA because you're not going to find anyone that wants to really do it in New York. And you would find too many people that would want to do it in LA. So it's like you find like people that are like really just trying to be famous. But
Boston.
Where else could you? Boston you could do.
Or
I could
outside
see Boston.
Boston, somewhere in Massachusetts. Maybe, maybe like in Connecticut.
Philly.
Philly would be great. Thing with DC is that like a lot of people who are in DC are there for
serious
politics, and it really is like the show Veep come to life. And so if we think like the current season has toxic guys, like the guys in DC.
Oh yeah, no, I don't
like,
think they're going to be less toxic, but I just thought
they'd
be smarter.
It'll be entertaining. No, they all do like 19 hours of cardio before showing up to the White House at like 3 a.m. to work.
I literally question if JP can read. Like, it's really, you know, it's.
I have to say, he wore the first time he wore a flag.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, LOL. The second time I was like, oh, OK, this is like borderline an obsession. And then when he had the USA Night shirt, I was overwhelmed.
You didn't see his Instagram yet, I take.
No, should I go there right now? Is his name JP on the Instagram? Because I bet it'll pop right up. Because Taylor only had 30,000 Instagram followers as of yesterday. So
he
needs to help her.
He has flag themed birthday parties for himself.
Why is he so
His name is Insta-less. It's like Insta-less Jared.
His name is Jared? Oh, yeah, Jared Pierce. Jared. Yeah, that sounds terrible. And his Instagram bio says, firefighter followed by America with a flag emoji. Love is blind. He's advised. He has 7,604 followers. If I honestly like was concerned for a second that he had more followers than I do. And none of his posts allow for comments.
Yeah,
and his third post has a photo of him in a bathing suit that is American flag themed with a sunburn that is in the shape of a flag.
Yeah.
With an America hat. I mean, is this, he's not, and then the next photo after that is him at a party with a flag backdrop. Is a dog next to a fire hydrant flag. I can't believe he's a firefighter because he would have to put out himself. Like, this man.
He's making me nauseous.
And then and then he went skiing in a flag ski suit. Like,
I can't.
I wish for him a sense of irony, but I just don't know that he has capacity for
it. Not capable. Speaking of America, Trump is broke.
Okay, tell me everything that's happening. You need to give me the rundown. You're my C-SPAN. Yeah. I dive your stories.
So this is the tea. Like, so basically today wasn't to like really establish anything other than just how much he's going to owe for committing fraud. He's basically been found liable for committing fraud. And
right. So it's no longer alleged.
They're basically going to try to dissolve his businesses in the state of New York. If he loses his ability to do business in New York, that could be a real big blow for him. We're talking like hundreds of millions of dollars he could owe just for committing fraud, which is, you know, basically he like overvalued the property values of like his estate in Mar-a-Lago, his different businesses, all of that. So I don't know. He said that like at one point it's like worth 1.8 billion when it's actually like 24 million. It's like, it's MAGA math. You know what I mean? It's like, these just.
It's also like when he first came out and there was this whole idea that he lived, that his office rather was this thriving workspace.
Yeah.
And then there was some deep dive interview and it was like just a couple people work for his, it's not even like a huge employing a ton of people. It's just everything about it is a figment of imagination, but people are just so used to seeing the apprentice set that they assume that's actually his life.
He's a scammer.
It's just not. He
is. Well, get this. Yeah, Trump's lawyer forgot to check a box when they they forgot to check a box where on the file form that asks if they want a jury trial. And so he, they're sitting in court and they're like, so you won't be having a jury trial because his, I think her name is Alina Haba. Yeah, one of his attorneys did not check a box. So now he's not going to have a jury trial. He went outside of the courthouse and he was doing a public appearance and he was saying, it's very unfair that I don't have a jury. He just forgot to mention that the reason he doesn't have a jury is because his genius lawyers forgot to ask for one. These people are not the best of the best. We're not talking like these are not, they're probably doing this for free because you know, you don't pay anybody.
Well, and there have been stories about the fact that a lot of law firms, you would think regardless of how you feel about this man, that law firms would be interested in being a part of the team for the president of the United States. But a lot of them, even ones who agree with him politically, are not because he doesn't pay his bills. And so these major firms aren't going to take him on as a client because he does not pay people for services rendered.
Literally everything. So you can't really like, it would be impossible.
And then you would put yourself, I would think, in legal jeopardy if you know that this person is like potentially lying under oath. I don't think that's good for business.
Fuck him.
I mean, not. I'll pass on that. I mean, I'm sure he's available. Legally. But, I also wonder, how much cash he has on hand because of all the like Middle East transactions and everything else. Like, I'm sure he has a lot of cash. I just don't know because of the debt being so high. I wonder how that math.
His super PACs are broke. His campaign is broke. Literally, all of his donations go straight to the legal fees. It's a mess. We're not even out of the primary and he's fucking broke. So,
but that's why I'm sure that he is gunning so hard to be president because he's just like, I just need to stay out of prison. Yeah, I just need to hold on so I can change all the laws, which is unfortunately literally what's going to happen. His best case scenario is becoming president and then, you know, series finale for us, I guess. But
You know who else is holding on for dear life? Kim to Croy.
Oh my God.
Kim Zolciak urged a judge earlier this month to dismiss her divorce filing. As you know, she went back into court and she said that we're having tons of sex, so I want to dismiss,
sweetie.
You know, yeah. But he insisted that he wants to go through with the dissolution of their marriage despite having sex. He said, in quote, the fact that he, or this is what the ruling said, he said, or yep. not the ruling, I'm sorry, the court documents. It said, the fact that he engaged in sexual relations with Kim does not indicate a desire to reconcile.
Oh my God.
He remains steadfast in his desire to divorce her. So he's just fucking, but he's like, that doesn't mean we're getting back together. And I guess the judge also said that they have to still stay in the same house together. Mm-hmm. But she has to stay in the basement now.
Yeah, because they can't afford. The judge knows that he can't afford for her to move out. She can't.
They have a combined salary of $9,500 a month.
They can't afford the water bill. The water bill was shut off and then turned on because of need. Like, they should not be living there. Like, obviously. I can't believe they're still hate fucking. Like, poor thing probably thought,
I can't believe she ever tried to look down on anybody else on that show. Girl, you live in like the Flintstones. Get the fuck out of here.
She still is.
You're not living You're not living like the Jetsons.
And 90, you know what? Honestly, like 9K a month, so like a little over 100,000 a year, like you can survive on that. Like, I don't know what the kids' education is like, but they're not destitute in the sense that there is no money coming in, but they have such enormous debt.
Yeah.
I don't know, like $1 million plus. I don't know how they're going to get out of it. And also, I don't think Kim has learned any lessons here.
Oh, absolutely not.
So like, how is not that this is anybody's responsibility except for apparently Brielle's, according to Kim saying, my daughter's paying my bills, thank you very much. But like, how is she gonna survive from that? Like, the well has run dry.
I won't be watching Atlanta, so I don't really.
She's not coming back there, so. There, she's not going to answer anything. She would be adding more chaos. And
yeah,
like,
she would like just be lying up and down.
Yeah, and she's too desperate, and I don't want to see her lying and saying like, "I still have money, I'm fine," you know. When Kenya's like simply like, you know, printing out whatever the New York Post is saying every day and just leaving it outside her door. Like, I'm okay. I think that ship has sailed.
Good luck to them. He looks really good. He just like debuted a new look. He's got like darker hair and he's got a beard. I don't know if you saw.
Does he? No. Is that on his Instagram? Please. No.
Just Google him. Google like Kim or Google Croy.
Beerman beard. I think that'll bring up a couple different articles that aren't intended. Croy Beerman.
He looks really good.
Also, his name is Croy. Who knew that they would last this long? Like, I'm still surprised that they're breaking up, except now that I hear about like the unbelievable. Oh, wow.
Didn't he look good?
He's too. Yeah, he does. He does look good. He's just like that kind of like athlete, like professional athlete.
Yeah,
look.
Yeah.
I'm more of like a dad bod kind of gal, but yeah, he does look good. His beard almost looks painted on, but I know it's not.
Yeah.
But I think it's because it's so dark. It's sort of like unnatural dark. Because isn't he a ginge or a blonde?
He looks ginger there, but. Mm-hmm.
I guess it depends on like however Kim wants him to appear. This is going to be so messy. And they have so many kids. They have six kids, I want to say. Is that right? Six?
That is so gross.
They have so many kids and she does not.
All those kids running around. Yuck.
Who's paying for their groceries? It's wild. I feel for them.
Probably my tax dollars. Probably living off the damn system. Sorry, I get my MAGA voice on whenever we talk about living off the damn system on my damn taxes. Oh, sorry, guys. Sorry. I just like channel a MAGA little. Speaking of being broke, who is your favorite broke housewife?
Oh my God. I'm so bad at any kind of talk. Who's, I feel like everybody's broke.
Mine of all time.
Yeah, tell me.
My all-time favorite broke housewife is the iconic Lynn Curtin. She created being broke, invented it, invented eviction, honestly.
True.
Love her, queen. Still selling the cuffs.
Is she?
Still selling the cuffs, apparently. told, I forget where she was. She said something online where, yeah, you guys support women's businesses, women business owners.
Do you, I wonder how expensive those cuffs are. They've got to be, I bet they were like $200 or something insane.
Oof, driving around with them in their butt trunk of her car, sun them out of her trunk.
Oh my God, I love, she is one of the darkest story arcs on Housewives.
Absolutely.
She really is.
You my know, runner up.
Oh yeah, tell me.
Kim Richards. Mm. And then a third, I think, would be Teresa Giudice.
Wow.
Yeah. Because she was like legit, like, remember? It was like,
yeah.
She was like, went into prison. She was like, I don't know. I can't believe she turned it around because she was like down bad.
I mean, I hate to say it, but to be continued. Because Queen of, oh, yeah, when Louis's done with her, it's going to be game over.
Stuff is going down in Jersey. I don't like what I'm hearing.
Did you see this latest thing about Marge and Jackie? I'm so upset about
it. Yeah, that's been going on for 2 months, I think.
Yeah, tell me. Because I don't know both of them.
I do, but I haven't talked to specifically about this. But I do know that there's been friction and they have not been filming together and stuff. And Jackie's been all with Teresa and Jennifer. And Jennifer's over here fighting with Danielle. And apparently they were fighting. And then Jennifer like apparently pushed Danielle out of her face. And then Danielle took a plastic cup and balled it up and threw it at Jennifer. And apparently it scraped her face. Someone said there was blood, but then I don't know how you have blood from a solo cup. But then I feel like you would have to ask Kim Zolciak about that because she's the one who knows about solo cups. And then I'm like, I don't know.
And Kristen Takeman knows something about getting a cup in the face from plastic versus glass, a la Ramona.
Apparently it was bad enough, though, that Danielle and Jennifer both got suspended from filming. It was about a couple days, less than a week. And I guess they're both back to filming now. Danielle had an event the other night. All the women showed up. Even Margaret showed up. So
how do you feel about next season? What's your energy knowing I don't know what to make of it. Okay.
Apparently
they're not really in the press a lot.
Apparently it's really not going to be at all about Melissa and Teresa. They're really moving ahead. They're it is everybody else has these issues.
Good. And now it's I think that's I know, good. It's good. Yeah.
But it feels they're adding all these people because there's three new people in the mix too.
No, really?
There's three new women, but they're not I think they're putting people in the mix to see who's going to sink and you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It could just be people in the background, but I think they're doing it because they realize that for this show to go on, they've got to just forge ahead. Although I like Melissa,
I know I'm a Gorgita crunch. So I don't know.
I don't really know what to make of the show. I don't know.
It is interesting that we really aren't hearing anything as far as Tree v. Melissa, which I am into. I think that the show was so focused on it last season. I was one of the few people that really enjoyed last season. I don't need I don't need part B of that. So, but I am genuinely really sad about Marge and Jackie.
Yeah.
And I hope that I feel
they have to work it out.
Yeah, but I wonder how intense it's going to be, whatever it is. I wonder how intense it'll be. And I wonder also what Dolores is up to. Is Dolores involved in stuff? What's happening with her? I love Dolores.
Is he being a foil's foil? She's giving nothing but looks and, the whole thing. And that's okay. That's not a read either. I talk about this every time. I'm she's over here just chilling. Don't anybody throw any drinks on me and I'm good. I'm here to just keep the peace. You need at least one of those. So
you do. And I wonder if Paul's going to propose. Yeah, she is there for vibes.
She's there for vibes.
She's there for vibes. She's there for a good time and a long time. Yeah. And she's one of the few that can actually make that happen. So good for her.
What was I going to say? I want to talk about our lists. I'm so excited. It is first thing on my list is spooky season. It's October. People say, someone told me yesterday, they were like, it's so funny because I always think of you as a summer person, but then I forget when October rolls around and I'm like, oh, wait, you're very much a fall. I am an autumn boy. Mm-hmm. Let's get one thing straight. I'm a boy for all seasons, really, but fall is my shit. I love to watch a horror movie one a day, every day for the entire month of October. I love pumpkin everything. I like apple crisp. I like caramel. I like it all. I love it.
I love that. I totally agree. I 100% agree.
They just said, Just speaking of spooky season, I just heard news that the new Scream movie is going to be like next year, and apparently it's going to take place. Well, you don't really care. You don't watch Scream, right? You
know, I've seen the Screams. I might not go to it in theater, but I've seen all of them.
The new one apparently is supposed to be during the holidays. Like it's going to be like a Christmas Scream.
Oh. Wait, that's so smart. I'm extremely into that. No, 100%. I didn't like the last... and I also need Nev to be there. You cannot do this movie without her. They're not paying her enough. They should respect her. Give her a truckload of money, truly. You don't think?
Did they? Yeah. No, I mean, like the last one she was in, it was like she was barely in it. So it's like they probably paid her so little... Right. I don't even know, but yeah. And for me, it's like, she's not like a huge deal for me. Courtney Cox is like a must. You have to.
Never kill Courtney.
Yeah.
Like, it, may his memory be a blessing to Dewey, but like, you can never kill Courtney. She can never be gone.
What's number one on your list right now? Or not number one, but the first thing on your list right now?
Well, this is reminiscent of, I don't know if it's something I'm excited about or something I just take pleasure in, but as any good New Yorker knows, something that really brings our community and our city together like nothing else is a real hashtag never forget, aka dragging Bill de Blasio to absolute hell.
Yeah.
And the thing that I have really taken to heart, I think in the last several months, but like for much longer, is how much I really strongly dislike Eric Adams, with every fiber of my being. So this is really like a top three. It's the number one of any top three of any week for me this year, is just to really pontificate and observe and express some sense of amazement that this man is just playing the part of mayor so he can go schmooze at Casa Cipriani and then, you know, have like the biggest on record rainfall in New York history since the late 40s and then tell New Yorkers that they're fucking idiots if they didn't know a storm was coming and that he doesn't need to warn anyone. I mean, he's so ineffective, but because he followed de Blasio.
Yeah.
We're not raging as much as we should be.
Yeah.
Like, he has the benefit of having Bill
right behind him.
Tell me.
I just literally, as we got on here, just read, Mayor Adams plans to embark on a 4-day trip to Latin America this week. He's visiting Mexico.
I'll bet he does.
Mexico, Ecuador, Colombia. He plans to include a visit to the dangerous Colombian jungle, crossing the Darien Gap. I don't know if I spelled that correctly. I don't know. He just wants to be an influencer. He's like an influencer. He's taking trips. He just wants to go to parties. I cannot stand this man.
He's not good. He's not good for anybody. Like even for vegans, he's not good. His personality is being mayor. He doesn't want to do anything. All he wants to do is to inspire people by being mayor. And that's just not how inspiration works. He's the least progressive mayor that we have had
in our lifetimes thus far.
I mean, Bloomberg is like Green Party compared to him.
Well, actually, that's not in our lifetimes because we did have Rudy.
What's that? But that was like not our lifetime.
Yeah, that's true.
That happened technically while we were alive.
Yeah, but we weren't conscious.
We do not claim him. We do not claim any aspect or generation of that man. Yeah, it's just he's just so terrible. He makes me upset in a way that is different from Bill because Bill was a joke.
He's fun to troll though.
He is, but like I don't like that other people aren't treating him as a joke. That like they are actually attaching themselves to the clout of being with the mayor.
Yeah,
and it just annoys me. Like I need to see him at less Vogue events. Like he doesn't care about literally anything other than being mayor. I'm working my way through a long form New Yorker piece on him, and it drags him to hell. And it's like he's very fake news. He's very like, if you have a critique of me, you're against the city. If you have a critique of me, you're enemy number one. I might not tell you facts about my life or anything else, but you have to kind of use your own imagination, and it's a trust fall exercise, but we're the only ones falling. I mean, it's just, he's a mess. I know that's not like top three, like leaf time, because I also love autumn in New York, but
yeah,
that is something that that I am into doing. I guess mine are more philosophical because
another
thing on my top three is making a career out of doing errands.
Okay.
Do
Making
you,
a
am I
career
the
of it.
only one do that? Maybe it's because I'm like really leaning into like podcasting and writing
Okay.
and stuff that like what's your schedule today? Well, I think I'm gonna walk downtown
Take a walk.
and I have to like return something at Whole Foods, so I'll do the
Yeah.
one in Union Square. So I'll walk
Okay.
from the Upper East Side to the Union Square, and then I'll just kind of walk and I'll do errands and I'll like do
It's like
things,
that
but like
episode of And Just Like That where Carrie was just like walking the entire episode. She's just like walking around New York and went all the way from like, you know. Yeah.
wherever
It's
to wherever.
yeah. You're just getting inspired.
I guess I am Carrie Bradshaw is what
Autumn
I'm
in New York is the
hearing.
perfect time to do it.
It really is, and I am close-ish to the park, and there is nothing better than
Yeah.
walking through Central Park. And I do make a habit of stopping to read. I have like favorite park bench inscriptions, and like I stop and read them, and it's just incredibly. New York can be incredibly romantic, and walking through the park reading the dedications, I think
Yeah.
surprising someone with a Central Park bench dedication is like literally the most romantic thing that a person could do. I think it is so goddamn romantic.
I
So
like
I
that.
love just to do a stroll and read them.
I like on the latest episode of Rony, Brynn was talking about dedicating a tree to her grandmother. Did you see that part?
Oh, I haven't
Oh, you
watched the.
didn't see the
I'm
new tree.
behind. I'm
Okay, that's
so
fine.
behind
That's fine.
because of my errands, honestly.
I'm gonna tell my next two on my list in a second, and then when we get to the bonus episode, wink wink, I have some crazy rumor. We'll see if it's we'll find out if it's substantiated or not, but a crazy rumor about Roni. You guys will be shook when I saw. But let's before we get there, I'll talk about the second thing on my list is I don't know why I just like came across this podcast. It's not even like new. It's like from the year 2020. And I don't know. I think it was from like Twitter or something, but did you ever watch Rock of Love?
I saw episodes, but
There
I
was this like
wasn't.
villain on it. She's basically like the white rock and roll version of New York, you know, Tiffany
Oh,
Pollard.
of
Her name was
course.
Lacey. And so
Okay.
she basically has her own podcast apparently, and it's called Talk of Love. That's I like it. Yeah, it's yeah.
It's a good title. It's a good
Yeah.
title.
But she has on really great guests. Like she has on a lot of the actual producers of those shows, and they talk about like all of these experiences, like casting these people and just all of the it's incredible. It's incredible stuff. She has all the contestants on. I mean, it's crazy. It's like a whole world. I love when you find a podcast that you've never heard of. You're like, and they've been going on for 3 years. You're like, what the f like, it's like finding a treasure trove of mess.
Totally.
That's something. And the third thing on my list right now is this show. It's again something else that has been out for a while. I think it came out early this year, called Daisy and the Six. Have you heard of this?
Oh, I didn't get into it, but it's with Elvis's granddaughter, whose name I
Is
keep
it?
forgetting.
Okay.
She's the
The
lead in
main
it.
one. Okay. Didn't know that. I am only like episode three, and it's basically, I think it's like loosely based on Fleetwood Mac for sure. I mean, it's clearly. Yeah. So it's like, it's supposed to be like not specific. Like it's supposed to be kind of an amalgamation of all those people from that time, but it's clearly like they're in it very much an inspiration of it. So I'm enjoying it, but we'll see. That's hard to tell sometimes until I like really get into the meat of a show because I'm like, it could be good. And then it just kind of takes a turn and I'm like, no. But I'm
Yeah,
enjoying it so
sometimes
far.
they that's good. Sometimes they get you where it's like you think it's going to be prestige. And with
Yeah.
Amazon and Apple, I
Yeah.
find extremely hit
Yeah.
or miss where
Yeah.
it's like this could be really good or really not. Like
Yeah.
it can go either way. And sometimes it changes throughout the course of a season. Like you really don't know if it's going to be like enjoyable or not, or like prestige.
As I sit here and watch an entire season of Love is Blind.
Only the best for
Only the
us,
best for me,
okay?
the
Oh,
crème
literally
de la
only the
crème.
best. I'm into it. I'm into it.
What's next on your list?
Pomegranates. I'm a
Okay.
longtime pomegranate person.
Okay.
And last year, I don't know what was happening in the world or like the environment and agriculture, but
Oh.
I did not get the pomegranates I needed in my life. And when it's, since I was like younger, when it's pomegranate season, and it's essentially cardio to like open up a pomegranate. Like that's 15 minutes of your life. You'll never get back.
Yeah.
But I can go through as much as 2 pomegranates a day. Like when it's peak and we're building to that, like Whole Foods now has pomegranates, but they're not.
Is it pomegranate season?
It is. Fall is pomegranate season.
Fall is.
Fall, and then it ends around winter time. But again, I think it sort of depends on the climate or whatever.
Okay.
Or whatever. that's the title of the episode. Yeah, well, that would be, climate or whatever. But it's just, there's nothing better. My apartment looks like a Scream movie at the end of it because it's just pomegranate juice everywhere.
Yeah.
So I'm just looking for something that looks like a murder scene, a murder pod. But I love them. I can't get enough of them. They are the light of my life. Pomegranates and watermelon, but like pomegranate. I just had some watermelon, but like pomegranate's like it's my real number one fruit. You can't get better than a pomegranate. A perfectly sweet pomegranate, nothing better in life, truly.
I would say probably the fourth thing on both of our list would be the Potomac trailer. It just came out.
Oh my God.
What did you think? I'm going to give it like a 6.5.
Really?
I'm going to give it a 7. I love the editing. I thought the editing was really smart and funny.
Very smart.
I think it's going to give you stuff, but I don't know. It felt anticlimactic. I like things about Wendy, but I just don't know how long we need her on the show. She's a foil. She doesn't really drive story. She doesn't feel comfortable as a housewife who's been here for 4 seasons. I feel like we still don't know that much truly about her. I don't know. It's getting to be a weird group. And once we start getting to 8 housewives, then I'm like, okay, there's a lot of people here, but not everyone's carrying the weight. I mean, Potomac was great when they only had like 5 people or 6 people and they were each really like doing it. And it didn't matter because everybody had something going on and it was all good. Now I feel like it's like, how bad is the show if you have 8 people? It's like, you guys better be.
Yeah, and Potomac relies on its OGs like no other franchise.
Yeah,
like if the OGs, if you need the OGs to every single one to deliver, and if if there isn't plot happening, then it's gonna fall apart because they are the strength, they're the foundation.
And it doesn't seem like Karen was really given that much in this trailer either, except for a couple of fights. But I'm like, I don't know. I worry about it, but I'm staying positive, and I'm obviously gonna watch. But
I really liked the trailer. I felt like it was like bright. I thought it was, I was like into it as like a mood lifter.
Yeah.
But I am sort of nervous about the Giselle Robin dynamic because Robin really shot herself in the foot with the whole Patreon thing. And we're still trying to pretend that Juan isn't a piece of shit. And it's just like, I don't know how this is going to work out for her. And I don't know how it's going to affect Giselle because it's not about the crime. It's about the cover up. And she's involved in this too. So I don't know how
they
that's going to work.
They both look like assholes.
They do. And then it's like if there's tension between them of like Giselle criticizing Juan and Robin being upset, it's like how much of that do I really believe? Because they're
I feel
really
like maybe there might be cracks in their friendship that we're going to see.
Do you think it's because of the Patreon decision that Giselle's like, I don't want to be, you know, like this went.
It doesn't
so
seem like they're that buddy buddy anymore either. They're
you don't
not,
think
they're not like in each other's posts and shit like that. But I don't really pay that much attention, I guess. So maybe that's also something I haven't really been. Yeah.
Used to be the number one, used to be the top franchise. You know, it was like spiritually New York, but the last couple seasons in New York were tough. And it was really Potomac for a lot of people. And that's.
I will be watching with bated breath, though, still.
Yes.
For my girls, they're coming back right in time. Obviously, Halloween. So obviously, we're going to get reintroduced to Giselle Bryant's House of Horrors.
Her
haunted hotel.
Updated?
Hotel Giselle.
Oh my God, take purple away from her. Honestly, we don't need any more purple.
Spooky.
Truly.
Let's go over to the bonus.
Okay.
Tell the people where to follow your podcast. Obviously, it's on all streaming platforms. Do you have any special episodes coming up? You recorded recently about Nene and Bethany, so that might be worth a listen. Didn't you?
Yeah, I have a special episode about the Nene and Bethany pod that covers part 1 and part 2 will be up this week. And Andy's Girls is all about the psychology behind the Real Housewives. So it's really not a recap podcast. It's like just talking about how our own experiences influence our opinions. So there's a new ep out now with Kiki Monique, also known as The Talk of Shame, which was a lot of fun. She was incredible. And Jackie Goldschneider was just over to the Clawfist recently, had her over to talk about her new book, which was an amazing read. So it's
called
it's
The Weight Of.
It's actually right behind me. It's called The Weight of Beautiful.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And it's great. It's really intense, but it's really good. And you can follow me on social at Dame Galley.
Cool. We are going to go over to the bonus episode, guys. Go to patreon.com/theBList to subscribe to that. I want to talk about this Nene and Bethany thing because I totally forgot about it for a second. I have some thoughts.
Okay.
Also want to talk about this Roni stuff okay. going on. And a little bit of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, because I have a theory about the phone call at the beginning of the premiere episode. I want to ask your opinions on it. I talked about it here last week, but I didn't talk about it with you. So
love it.
Yeah, let's go over there. B-side. Bye, guys. Thank you for listening. Bye.